I was hoping it was all gone. I don't know about you all. I'm done. But the Lord is faithful. And it's another day the Lord has given us. Praise the Lord. So we'll open with prayer and I'll give you the word that he's given us for today. Father, we thank you for this day, the opportunity to be in the house of God, to be with the people of God. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is already here, Lord. We thank you. Lord, Holy Spirit, come down. Fill this place. Let your holy presence hover here. Let your will be done. We bind and rebuke the enemy according to your word. In the name of Jesus, he has no hold in this building and this parking lot. Lord, let it always extend to the internet and let everything go according to you. The enemy has no right or hand in all of it. Lord, bless those that are here, those that are coming, Lord. Bless those that are participating in the rest of the services today, Lord, each and every way. Have your way, Lord. Open our hearts. Let our ears be ears that hear, Lord. Let the word take root in our heart, grow and prosper us, so that we can be the army of God we are called to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as I promised on Wednesday night, the title is B flat. B-E flat. And there's a second part, and lift up Jesus. So B flat and lift up Jesus. John said this when he was coming out of the wilderness. He's baptizing people. He in John 3 and 30, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. New Living Translation reads that verse, he must get greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Do you understand what being flat means now? We're going to talk about it. Where this come from, I was doing a study with some ladies, and we talked about unleavened bread. And Pastor hit on unleavened bread, on the bread last week, and I was like, God, he's going to preach my sermon right now. But mine is unleavened bread. Unleavened bread usually is made with flour and water, no yeast to rise it. And this, if you look at that, that's the Christian life. We are supposed to come, we're supposed to decrease in our humanity, our pride. We're supposed to keep a humble, meek attitude about ourselves so that we can glorify Jesus. And let me just tell you, it never comes in the good times, generally. You learn to be humble and meek in the difficult times. We'll talk about that a little more in the next section. But usually unleavened bread was made with wheat, usually ground wheat. And the wheat in the scripture, if you look it up, it symbolizes God's provision, his blessing, his abundance, representing the righteousness or the sons of the kingdom. It's used to signify spiritual nourishment. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. That's Matthew. We'll talk about that later. But he also talked about it as, do you remember the weed and the tares parable in Matthew 13? So how you can tell the difference? Remember in the story, they said, Master, should we go in and take out the tares? Because they realized someone had come and planted tares in the wheat field. And he said, no, let them grow up together. And then at harvest, we'll separate them out. And how they knew the difference was because the plant looks a lot alike. But when it becomes full, the tares stand straight up. And the wheat, when the head of the wheat gets full, it bows down. It bows over. So that was how they could tell who was the wheat, who was the tare. There's a sermon in that, ministers. Unleavened bread is flat bread made without yeast, symbolizing the haste with which the Israelites left Egypt. That's Exodus 12. It representing the removal of sin or leaven. Someone's mic is still on. I can hear it. From one's life, signifying purity, sincerity, and a new life in Jesus. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread was how that is a week-long celebration. It served as a physical reminder of God's deliverance from bondage and a call to live life free from sin. With the New Testament teaching, it equivalent leaven with corruption and hypocrisy. So, stay flat. Be flat. So the first time you see unleavened bread was in Genesis 19. That was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels had come to destroy it. And in his haste, Lot brought them into the house to get them out of the street. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread. And they did eat. You can read that story in Genesis 19. But God took me also to Exodus 12. And of course, it's the those that celebrate the Passover and the unleavened bread. And it says, number 12, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb should be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door post of the house," depending on the translation you get. One says lintel, "wherein they shall eat it. And then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it." A lot of us right now are eating unleavened bread. Let me explain it. They were in opposition. They were being oppressed. It was nighttime. How many of us are experiencing a little suffering right now? This whole church, as a matter of fact. But I wanted you to see that they were unified in what they were doing. They even sacrificed together, like many Christians do, and not in the literal sense, but I'm talking about spiritually and physically, we're experiencing sacrificing, which is for our good. Notice that the blood was applied, and of course, this all foreshadows Christ. Wednesday night, I talked to you about the two doorposts and the lintel. If you actually look up the word lintel, that is the cross of the house, is what that lintel, that what you go under is the cross. So that represents the threshold, the entrance, protection, salvation, symbolizes divine intervention, because the blood was shed and covered the entranceway into the house, which was they were entering into a covenant with God. Same way we do. He shed his blood for us. And let me tell you, if you ain't done it spiritually, start applying some blood to your household, to the lintel, to the cross, to the entranceways. They were in obedience. They were obedient because the angel of death was coming. And the house that had the blood, he went over. It was coming for whoever wasn't in. And that's right now. We are experiencing that spiritually. If you are not in, you are about to be out. Heed my words. That's not even in this. That's God. And he also told him to be ready to travel. And that might be a word too. Ooh, staff in hand, shoes on your feet, loins girded, and you built on. So it became a memorial after this night. And he goes on to verse 14 of Exodus 12 and says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a fast, as a feast, I'm sorry, to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your house. Let me tell you, saints of God, when you go through anything like that, that you didn't bring upon yourself, and God is allowing this to happen, you are going through a period where the leaven is being removed from the house. This house, this house, this house. When we fast, we're submitting ourselves to that same type of house cleaning. I'll just call it that. But as you suffer at the hand of the enemy, you are experiencing a house cleaning. And it is not only for yourself, it is a memorial for your children, those brothers and sisters, then Christ that you are with, and the church in general. You are becoming a memorial stone for that place, for that family. People will look at you and say, that one went through this, and watch her. She was an example the whole time. That's what I want people to say. I had one time, someone told me, she says, I know what you're going through. How can you go through it with such joy? And that's when you talk about the God you know. That's how you give him glory. That's how being unleavened bread is a memorial to him. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your house. For whoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. They ain't no in, no fence. They were off. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only one, only may be prepared by you. So you should observe the feast of unleavened bread, is what he called it. For on this same day, I will have brought you, I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. He called them by a name they had never been called. The armies. The armies shall be brought out. Don't look at yourself as just a woman or a child or a man. You are an army of God. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven should be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leaven, the same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leaven in all your dwelling. You shall eat unleavened bread. There's so many things you could say about that, but I'm going to go on with what God gave me. But we are called to be flat, unleavened. Because when people see us, they shouldn't see the great talent that Sonia has. They should see that is God. That is Jesus. That is truth. That is way beyond her education, her ability. That must be God. And I'm telling you, if you ever feel that way about yourself, just rebuke it and say, thank you, Lord, because all wisdom comes from him. Beware of the leaven. Matthew 16, this is Jesus speaking. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him. He asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said that to their faces, to his disciples, while they were in the presence. Today we want to know, God wants you not to be puffed up. They wanted a sign. puffed up. He, you know, show me, prove that you are who you say you are. No faith. They couldn't see past the traditions of men, which most of them had set in order as their religious leaders of the day. But this example shows me I'm supposed to stay humble and obedient in my attitude. Servant. You know, Jesus left heaven and became a bond servant, the scripture says. A servant. When the deliverance comes or the new thing comes, remember it was not of our own hand, but only God. Keep an unleavened bread attitude. There are going to be some changes happening. And there's going to be some good things if we endure. But God is telling us, keep your attitude in check. When he moves, and he's going to, in your life and mine, in this church, and I don't know what it is. Sometimes it won't look like what we think it is. It usually isn't. But when the blessing comes, when the new thing comes, keep your attitude in check. The devil has a stronghold if we allow pride to step in. If we open that door, this is what this sermon is about. That's my understanding. Psalms 37:11 says, the lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. Psalms 37:11, New Living Translation. Remember what God said in James 4:6, and I think you find it in Proverbs. It said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. So what is my job? My job is to remove the leaven in my life. Your glorying is no good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Notice he's comparing the old leaven as malice and wickedness. Kind of describes some of us, doesn't it? Well, back in the day. I'm working on that. So we're supposed to move malice. Malice was wrath, anger, destructive behavior, corrupt hearts. Yes, help us all, Lord. It's the wickedness which willfully departs us from the God's will and his law. We choose defiance. We choose moral depravity and all that goes with rebellious choices. We are to take account of ourselves and remove the leavening as Christ became a sacrifice so that we too are sacrificed. And the Bible says to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. That's your reasonable service. And that means that you're choosing integrity. You're choosing holiness. You're choosing to be Christ-like when it's not an opportune thing for everyone won't do it. But that's when you choose to be holy. You choose to take out the leaven. Remember, we were all sinners and needed grace and mercy, which can only be obtained through Jesus, our Savior. So when the Holy Spirit exposes your leaven, just apply the truth to it. Surrender, repent if you need to. Stand in his power and authority and allow it to be removed. That takes a choice. That takes a choice. Takes a choice. Stay flat. Lift up Jesus. No better example than to not go along with the crowd, to not think like everyone else thinks, to think biblically, especially in this day and time. Why do we want to do that? Because it spreads. It said the whole lump is going to be affected. Be affected by it. in Matthew 16, he was going across the lake with the disciples, and they had forgotten to bring bread. And he tells them, he says, watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In verse 12, it says, then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast and the bread, but about the deceptive teaching of Pharisees and Sadducees. There is so much unrighteousness that claims God and is accessible on any device that you have. I was listening to a gentleman. He come up on something that I was flipping through, and he said, you know, we can't. He basically said that there are some things in this world that the name of Jesus would not be able to deal with. Yeah. I was like, oh, dear Lord. Not listen to that hypocrisy. What he was talking about is spiritual pride and false teachings that could subtly creep in and corrupt your faith. Much like yeast, it spreads throughout the whole dough, leading to an outward religious performance without an inward transformation. We all have a call, like Jesus, to empty ourselves of whatever we is our leaven in our life, whatever's going to keep us from God, whatever's going to keep us from his will. We are called to guard ourselves against false teaching. This is why it's so important that you know the truth, which is the word of God. Because they will twist it, won't they, Kevin? And they'll make it fit what they want it to fit, to find permission to do what they want to do and still claim God. But it's not so. Be you holy as I am holy. Yeah, and they will trick you up. But Kevin, you have to realize you were not, he was not your assignment. You were his. We've got to be led by Holy Spirit into all truth. We are called to live lives of sincerity and truth according to the scripture we just read, just as Jesus did. Sincerity is the clearness that is purifying. And truth is honesty and righteousness. And that comes from Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If they tell you all roads lead to Jesus, God, they are lying through their teeth. They have not read that scripture. No. Jesus even said in John 6 that I am the bread of life. You're going to eat anything else, you're going to get hungry. But if you eat from me, you'll never hunger again. If you drink and believe in me, you'll never thirst again. Eating the bread means believing in Jesus, receiving his sacrifice, which brings eternal life, and being led by Holy Spirit. What does being flat look like? Go back to the Beatitudes. I call those the Be My Attitudes. Be My Attitudes. That's Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A poor in spirit is a person that's looking for more of God. That sees, yes, I need more of you. How many of you all remember a day when you could go through the day and not even worry about God? I do. My days that I didn't live for him. But now that I'm much older and wiser, I can't believe how I got through one day. And not all of them were good, trust me. My best decisions got me in my worst places. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall comfort. There are going to be times that you mourn. It's natural. These bodies are temporal. They're not going to last forever. Save Jesus, come and split the clouds and take us away. We're going to deal with some mournful things. We're going to see and experience things that break our hearts. But God promises that we will be comforted. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the word meek here doesn't seem that someone that isn't powerful. It is strength under control. That is what meekness is. It's the ability to withstrain. You know, we have these beautiful horses around here in Kentucky, and you put one rein on them, and you can help him go where he needs to go. You can keep him from danger. You can lead him to the right path. All that power, and you're just sitting on him with two little leather leash, you know, straps, and you're just showing him where to go. But that is what a meek person is. A meek person understands that Holy Spirit is going to give you guidance, and you're going to be able to put the brakes on when you need to. You're going to be able to hush your mouth when you need to. Now, would I say I'm perfect at it? No, I would not. There are things that I wish I could go back and redo. And you'll hear me say in this sermon a lot when I talk that sometimes God always shuts the lion's mouth, and sometimes I'm the lion. Meekness always means to be gentle and humble and patient. It's not weakness by any means. It is restraint and kindness, even when possessing the ability to retaliate. That is meekness. That's how you be flat. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So these are what the world considers weakness, but God does not. Meek, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, able to withstand persecution for righteousness' sakes, able to withstand without retaliation when I'm mocked and persecuted, and they say all manner of evil against me falsely for his sake. But God says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The pure in heart means somebody that's not divided, who's sincere in their devotion, free from hypocrisy, deceit, and mixed motives. Jesus gave us a great example. In John, Philippians 2, 5 and 11, he's the author and finisher of our faith, so we always need to look to what Jesus did. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that at that name, Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If I be lifted up, he says, on earth, I will draw all men to me. He spoke that in John, talking about 12, about his lifted to the cross. But today, if you lift up Jesus, if you stay flat, unleavened, I am nothing without him. And they see Jesus in you, in the situation. The way you live your life, we call that the walk, the Christian walk in the Christian knees, you know. You are unleavened bread, but you're lifting up Jesus. So whatever is coming, be careful of the leaven. Be careful of the leaven. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, what's the first thing he has to do? Deny himself. Be flat. Stay flat. Next thing, take up his cross daily. I like that Luke puts that in there. It means, you know, not everybody's going to like it when you stay flat and lift up Jesus. He said, but that's okay. Keep following me. So I encourage you today as I close, be flat. Stay flat. Your attitude, don't get so high and mighty. What is it? You get so religious that you're no earthly good? Don't do that. That's not what we're called to be. You have to remember, hey, wasn't but a few years ago that my sin was just sin like everybody else's sin. They're going to walk through that door. They're not going to talk like you. They're not going to walk like you. They may not have been through everything that you have been through, or maybe some of that they have been through. Maybe you're experiencing that right now. So be flat. Take the leaven out, the pride that I'm better than them, because you are not. You are not. We've got to show them God. We've got to show them Jesus, the love that he had, that one day he gave to you and I so that we could be like him. So be flat and lift up Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your words of wisdom. I thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that seals us, gives us all the gifts and all the fruit that we need to do as we're called to be. Help us now, Lord Jesus, to take this word. Let it take root in our hearts and grow and prosper. Bring it back, Holy Spirit, to our remembrance at the times that we need it. Because the enemy just needs a crack in the door, and he'll come right in. Help us, Lord, to decrease so that you can increase. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.